Yay. Awesome. I'm back here again. This has been a fun morning. This is, they got me on a mission. I'm like, choo, choo, and then driving in the car. Choo. We're doing it though. We made a man. I gave him 8 minutes back. I blew Trey away. He was like, you gave us 8 minutes back last time. I was teasing him. I said, well, my cup's about half empty. That's what I was telling him. I was teasing. No, I'm doing good. I'm glad you guys are here. No, this has been fun. This is my third service preaching the gospel this morning. That's a good morning. I'm like, ah! I was like Orange County, California, in a Presbyterian church. They set it up conference style, and the guy said, I don't want to wear you out, but we want to take advantage of you coming, but we don't want to wear you out. We want to be, I said, man, you're not going to wear me out in a weekend. Just go for it. And he took me serious. They had this big Presbyterian sanctuary. There was 800 people there. I preached. He had a conference set up on Saturday, hour on, 5 minute bathroom break, stretch, hour on, 5 minute bathroom break, stretch. I preached 9 hours just on Saturday. It was, I couldn't even go to bed. People think you're going to be wore out. I talk about Jesus, my friend, for 9 hours. And then I had to go lay down and I was like, it was crazy good. It was so fun. So, hey, we're here. You guys have been amazing. Just every session, really. And I don't know. Who's this? Who am I seeing for the very first time, though? Like, is there people for the first time? Okay, it is a bunch. Wow, it is a bunch. Okay, good. But there's a whole bunch. You've been here and I've been seeing you. So just good to be here, man. We've been having fun. You guys are taught well because he's preaching my sermons. But no. We were talking in the car. We were having a conversation talking. He said, oh, yeah, I preached that. Oh, yeah, I preached that. I said, what are you doing? You just preaching everything? You said, oh, yeah, I preached that. I said, no. He said, no, but it's good. I said, no, it is good. It's good if you're doing it. It's helping folks. But when I come here, it's really funny. Amazing. When I say funny, I don't mean strange. It's really good. The receptivity, the on page, the excitement. There's just life in a place where people are really understanding. And you have that here. It's really humbling. It's really awesome. So let's stay on board. Let's stay on point. It's kind of what I told the leaders yesterday. I said, listen, we got a good thing going here. We're growing together. Let's keep it that way. Let's protect that. And whatever you can do on your part to protect that, make sure you're doing, right? Guard your heart. Don't let your heart get hurt, offended, angry. Don't just participate and be here. Jump in, man. And let's begin to grow in God and have relationship with God and let's walk in love. And that's, you keep, you know, I hear the prayers about this city and about the islands and about visitors and the love of God. It's that legit. Like it's that real, but it's to come through us. It's to come through us in our lifestyles. So stay on point, stay on page. If I can cheer you on this morning and just sharpen you up, like this life that we have right now is a gift and a privilege. Don't miss that. Wrap faith around that. Like I said today in the other session that I was just at, we're pilgrims and we're sojourners. We're just passing through. If you read scripture, we're just passing through. So you're not a Christian trying to get through life. You're a Christian so you can live Christ. If you're a Christian for God to serve you and get you through and help you and make you make it to the end, you're not on page. I don't know any other way to say it. I'm not trying to be rude. It's just, but that message is kind of sent along the way. There's so many beneficial messages out there. Messages just to try to keep people encouraged. And I'd be more concerned why we're always discouraged. Let's take that away. If we can, you know, people say, well, God heals the brokenhearted, so we're always having altar calls for the brokenhearted. Why don't we teach people how to not have a broken heart? Because he heals the brokenhearted. That means we're supposed to be healed, not fixed, broke again, fixed, broke again. You see what I'm saying? So where this stuff comes from is, and I'm telling you, it's this simple. Don't get mad at it. It's this simple. It's perspective. It's you seeing clear. It's me seeing clear. Paul said, God's anointed me to make all see. Come on. Seeing is a big deal. Your heart catching it. You going, oh. Repentance is that simple. Repentance isn't always, oh. Repentance could be like, duh. What? Yeah. because you see it now. And how powerful is that? Because if you see it now, you see it now. And that other thing ain't going to sneak up on you. It doesn't have a voice, does it? Because you see it now. So that's why we fill our heart with the word, because the word's truth. We fill our heart with the word's truth, and now you can discern a lie. You can't even discern a lie if you're not filled with truth. The way that seemeth right to man is the way the majority of folks live. And it's the way we were taught our whole lives, the way that seemeth right to a man. But it keeps your rights alive. Doesn't always produce life. In fact, it doesn't ever produce life. Read your Bible. Are you with me? The way that seemeth right is so detrimental, and the trouble is, it seems right. That's why it's hard. That's why people fight over this, because it seems right. But if it has to do with your rights, it has to do with just your feelings, and just who didn't do you right, and how you feel, and what you think, that's a sign you're just way off, because it's all about you again. This is just about you. It's just about you making it and you getting a fair shake. And this is not about you and me getting a fair shake. This isn't about somebody treating me right. This is about what God has done through Jesus Christ, which establishes me in identity, in truth, in destiny. So it supersedes everything else. I'm not living to be accepted. I'm living accepted. And because I'm living accepted, my life starts looking acceptable. But it's not, I'm not trying to be accepted this way. Zero insecure. Zero need you to even appreciate me, but I want to be your friend. But I'm not like trying to get you to like me, but I would never try to get you to dislike me. You see what I'm saying? Like, we're in this together. I want to be friends, right? But your take on me, I don't debrief. I don't go back and look at stuff and think, oh, I should do this. I wonder what people think. I'm not checking thumbs up and thumbs down. Irrelevant to me. Amen. What's relevant to me is that Christ is in me. Amen. That I'm living in joy today and sincerity. That I'm making peace and walking in love. Amen. That when I fly home, people are going to get to encounter God just because I'm there. It can be that security. I have fun just that security. They, how you doing today? Oh, I'm doing amazing. They're like, whoa, really? I don't get that much. Wow, that's a shame. Then people must know him. They mustn't know him like I know him. Know him? Jesus, he's my king. Save me. Change my life. Hey, do you got something going? What do you got going on? I know this. Are you for real? You know? Yeah. It's right in your hip, isn't it? Yeah. Give me your hand real quick. You know why that can happen? Because I'm not carrying issues. I don't have baggage. I just have my carry on. And I got a sword in it. I got a sword in my heart. They run through my bag not long. She said, you got anything sharp? I said, oh, ma'am, you be careful. You open that up. There's a sword right on the top. I said, it's sharp. It'll cut you. She said, you better not have a sword in it. I said, it's right on top, girl. You be careful because it'll cut you deep. She opened up my thing and said, oh. I said, I got you, didn't I? I said, but it will cut you. And I was just, we have fun. I forgot my driver's license one time. And the guy had to do this serious frisking pat down. He asked if I wanted a private room. I said, just what is it you're going to do to me? A little TSA badge. His name was Joe. He's precious black brother. He's about my age. Might have been just 5 years older than me, maybe. And he said, sir, we're going to have to this and that. Would you like a private room? I said, whoa. I said, just what is it you're going to do to me, sir? He said, crevice check. I said, crevice check. My voice raised, crevice check. He said, yeah. He said, because you don't have a driver's license, blah, blah, blah. We got to do it. I said, okay. I said, I'll tell you what, I'm a pretty secure man. Just get it on, Joe. I just went like that. That's just what I said. He started checking me out. I was like, hey, Joe. What? And I said, you know, Joe, this is kind of like scripture right now. Scripture's coming to mind. He said, scripture? I said, yeah, it's coming to mind right now. I said, and Abraham knew Sarah. I said, and Joe knew Dan. He said, what? I just had fun with him, man. And then when it opened up conversation. He saw I was free. He saw I was okay. We started talking about the Lord. I got a few things in. He appreciated it. We actually hugged. It's just fun. I just have fun. I'm not like, why is this TSA and why do they got to be feeling me up and I ain't doing this and I'm mad and I want my lawyer. sorry. I'm just saying. You got to make the most of every situation, every moment, right? I was walking through. I just came from a service. This lady, or a man, this man got his back healed in a service. Well, this lady did first, and then something else happened that was just, to me, spectacular. He was a pastor. He was born with something in his hips that he could never bend. Like he never took his fingers past his kneecap in his whole life. He was 40. He was a pastor. And now he just had 3 back fusions, which if I understand, that's 6 vertebrae tied up. So now he's aboard. Now it's a done deal. He's sealed up. So we were talking about this back, and there was a couple men standing there, and we were all chatting. It had nothing to do with me. It's not because I'm like anointed healing ministry Pastor Dan. Jesus is alive. He's awesome, and he loves when people believe like children. He just loves when people believe beyond facts and beyond stories and beyond technical. He loves that.
He gets really excited.
So we're there, and then he said about his back, and I said, really, what? And I had 2 guys standing there, they were like pit bulls. They were like, because they were seeing God move, and they were like, well, we need to just pray for you, sir. I said, pray for his back, pray for his back. They prayed for his back, and I said, go ahead, I want you to just bend over, touch the floor. He looked at me like, buddy, I just told you I've never in my whole life went past my kneecaps, and I just got 3 fusions, and his wife's standing there. And I said, it's okay, just bend over. Just purpose to touch the floor. Don't press. Don't. It's not a calisthenic. It's not a physical therapy. Grace will let you do it. Just go ahead and touch the floor. And I said, and if you feel like you can't and you have to stop, stop. But if you can go to the floor, go to the floor. We just prayed for you, man. These guys just prayed. Jesus is amazing. I watched this man go. And when he got here, he went. And he starts choking. And then he's like, yes. And he wouldn't come up. He just said, and he's hands on the floor, and his wife, woo! It was fun. So now I got a problem because I got to fly. You think what's wrong with me, and there's a time and place for everything. No, you're wrong. Jesus is Lord. So I go through security, and I come through the thing, and I'm talking, and how you doing? And hey, I'm doing amazing. And I come around the corner, and they got this yellow tape, do not cross. They got TSA agents. They got a man in a total body cast. And he's standing there like this, and they're checking him with all these guns and things. And I come around the corner, I just saw what I saw. I saw a little girl get so healed, and I saw this, and I'm like, I come by and I go, oh. I just literally went, oh. I went right over, and he said, sir, you can't cross the line. I said, I'm not crossing the line. I said, sir, I have to pray for you. I just interrupted the whole TSA thing. I didn't know. It just happened. I wasn't trying to be rude. I wasn't trying to break protocol. I wasn't trying to do anything unsafe. My heart just broke. Why? Because I know he fixes things. I just know he does this stuff. You say, well, he doesn't always fix it. Stop. See, you're trapped. You're not going to stop for the man because your mind's in trouble. I'm not even thinking about he doesn't always. I'm thinking about he might, he can, he will, he could, he... I just know this. If I never believe, I'll never see nothing. And I could talk about it over coffee all day. And let my whole life slip by and be a theologian. I'm not against theologians. But if you stop there, you're probably in trouble. Whoa. Thank you, my man. Wait, I got to do this. Look at this, guys. They got 3 holes in here. They set me up the first night. There's 3 holes. Only 2 are solid. This one is a trap. It's a pastor trap. They're trying to see if men have discernment that they give the pulpit to. I'm just childlike, so I've dropped it about 10 times now this weekend because I like it. I come back, I go, ugh. And I said, look, no, I won't hold you up, guys. I said, listen, sir, I just came from a place. I watched the Lord Jesus fix some things, fix a man that couldn't bend. I don't know what you've been through, but I must pray for you. And I'm telling you, God's going to see you through this. You're going to walk through this, and you're going to be unscathed. You're not. And I just started declaring. I just prayed. I was crying. I don't know this man. How can you just cry? It's the Lord. I'm just crying, praying. Shh. So I turn, I go, I get a little vitamin water. I'm getting some, and this girl's there, and I talk, and she recognized my voice. She said, whoa, you're the man of God. You were around the corner praying. I said, well, I am a man of God. I didn't know how to. She said, well, yeah. And I ended up praying for her. Woo! It was just crazy. But I turned from that man that was in the body cast, and I started to walk, and my arm got grabbed, and I turned, and a TSA agent has me. I said, oh, my. I'm like, what do I do? I've never been in this situation before. What do I do? I don't know what to do. But he's got my arm. And I said, oh, hey, sir. He pulls me over. He kind of gets me over to the side, and I'm like, okay, what are we doing? He looks. I realize he's crying. So I want to tell you, thank you for what you just did. Your forthrightness, your boldness spoke so loud to me on the inside. I wish we were all like that, that believed. And he's just so convicted. And I said, listen, man, I just watched Jesus rock some man's world that couldn't bend for 40 years of his life. You think I can walk by this guy? You're telling me to calm down? You're only telling me to calm down because you have no idea what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. It's the only reason a person would tell me to calm down, because they have no idea. They're trapped here. I'm trapped here. Yeah? And because I stop and do that stuff, I can tell you a lot of things that the best you could do is tell me I'm lying. That's the best you could do is tell me I'm lying. And one day you'll find out I wasn't. And then what are you going to do? Yeah. You see? The only two options you have is I'm lying or it's of the devil. That's all they could tell Jesus, and they were wrong. Doesn't surprise me, that same voice is on the earth. Listen, just be humble about this. Jesus is Lord. He's the truth. He's not just preaching truth. He's the truth. He spoke for years to people, and people killed him for his words. That's called pride. That's called weird. That's called tragic. That's called deceit. Men killed him for his words, the truth. Woo! So don't be taken back if not everybody's all excited about your excitement. He said, they hated me, they'll hate you. There's just some people that have set their hearts on opposition and contention. You just don't get caught up in it. It says as much as depends on you, you be at peace with all men. Don't be named an evildoer. Don't be named a this and that and this. A lawbreaker. Don't. As much as depends on you, you be at peace with all men. So can you tell I'm just having fun? Yes. Like you couldn't critique me enough. You can't shout me down enough. You can't stop me from believing for that man in the body cast. You'd have to kill me and I'm still not going to die. That's the paradox. You can kill me, I'm still not going to die.
That's amazing.
Now, actually, I think I'm getting to learn this. I'm really starting to believe this. Like, I'm a sojourner. I'm a pilgrim. I'm just passing through. And I'm not a Christian to get by. I'm a Christian to be Christ-like. Yeah? That one little trip through the airport when that happened, I was so revved up. I was dangerous. Because sometimes you just get revved up. I mean, you should always be revved up, but it was a different day. I was dangerous. I can tell you, it took me so long to get to my gate. And when I finally got to my gate, I was like one of the last ones on the plane. That's my buddy Todd's always like that. He used to say, Todd, dude, I'm not watching your bag anymore and carrying it on the plane. You either come back and get on the plane or you catch another flight, because we need to be where we need to be. Go pray for everybody you want, but be back at this time because we're bored. Oh, okay, dude. And we're the last one on the plane. I'm looking. I don't see dreads nowhere. But he got good with that. He got better with that. But I would just go get on the plane. And I didn't feel unspiritual. I felt on time. Because somebody's going to be sitting beside me anyway. And I ain't never seen nobody beside me get out of one of those holes. Ever. And honestly, I've never seen anybody try. I probably lost count of people I've watched cry beside me on an airplane. That's fun. What do you do with that? Am I boasting to me now? No, I'm painting a picture of how we can live if we're not carrying issues. Yes. It's issues that tone down the light. He said, shine. You're not shining when you're offended. You're not shining when you're overwhelmed. You're not shining when you're self-conscious. You're not shining when you're angry. You're not shining when you have attitude. And the whole reason you're on the earth is to shine. He said, you're the light of the world. What do you do with light bulbs when they don't work anymore? You pitch them out. Thank God he doesn't pitch us out if we're not working. He just gives us a chance to shine. He just gives us a chance to shine. Don't let this thing go out. Don't light a light and then put it under a basket. You don't put it under a bed. You put it on a lampstand for all to see. And it's not that you're putting on a show. You're not trying to get attention. It's just that love is that way. So if you sit down beside somebody and you get conversation and talking, or you just get this little impression, all of a sudden you're feeling like, oh my goodness. Oh Lord, really? And they look like they want to go to sleep, and you're like, ah, it happens to me. And sometimes I want to be right in my timing. I'm like, oh, sometimes I'll just let them fall asleep. I'm like, okay, we'll get them. We'll get them. We'll get them. So I just sit and be in Jesus, and I might even just sit and doze off and read or whatever. Next thing you know, they're awake. I'm like, oh, I say, hey, I know we haven't talked or said much, but hi, my name's Dan. I didn't want to interrupt you. I know you look sleepy. You look tired. So I'll let you rest a little bit. I've been feeling this in my heart. And I'll say something. Boom, cry. It's just fun. Like, nobody can take that from me. I'm going to live that way till the day he takes me. And there's nothing nobody's going to do about it. Nobody. And the people that are sitting beside me, I've never had anybody yell at me, mad at me. I've never had anybody say, I wish I was in another seat. I've had a ton of people cry and say, out of all the seats I could have been in, I was in this one. That had to be God. I've had that tons. Tons. I had one lady crying. She couldn't even stop crying. She said, I prayed to God today to please meet me today. And please that he has to this and this and this. And she said, 200 people on this plane and he sits me beside you. And I said, I had a flight attendant try to move the lady beside me because she cried so hard several times. She came to move her, thought I was being a disruption. Thought I was being a somebody not good. She gave me the stinky eye, boy, that flight attendant. She came up and said, ma'am, I have a seat for you in the front. I'm going to move your seat. She looked over and gave me the old stinky eye. And I just, I'm not going to defend myself. I'm not going to tell her I'm ministering to her. The Lord's moving. If that's true, she'll tell her. If I'm a blessing, she'll bear witness. I'm not going to speak for her. And I'm not going to defend myself. I just sit there and smile. Lady said, no, I'm okay. I'm okay. She said, well, you don't look okay, ma'am. She said, no, I'm okay. Why? Because God just read her mail. She's living in a violated conscience. She knows what she needs to do, and she's not doing. She's ignoring the Lord. So the Lord sits me down and gives her a verbal voice to say everything that's already in her heart, and she wipes out. She can't even pull it together. She literally looks like almost convulsionary, like she's like that broken. Now she's just pulling together, and the Lord says, I want to heal her Crohn's disease right now. I don't even know her name. We haven't talked about nothing. You could say this to 1,000 people and they look at you cockeyed, but not her. I said, ma'am, there's one more thing I need to say. And she said, what? She was like, here we go. The flight attendant no sooner just got back up to her spot. She's just doing her job. She's trying to protect the lady. She doesn't understand. It's not her fault. But she barely got up there, and the Lord's just got a sense of humor and timing. I said, honey, I need you to look at me right in the eyes. She's looking, and she's her lips going, and she knows he's there. Why? I'm not ashamed of this. Watch. He's in me. And I'm not him. But he's in me. Ooh. And I looked at her and I said, honey, I just need you to know this. Crohn's disease is no match for the blood of Jesus Christ. And she went, oh. She's about 40 years old. She's a light-skinned girl. She's got big hair. Big hair. Beautiful hair. Big hair. She looks like she picked it out to be big. I'm telling you that for a reason. Because I looked up and here comes a flight attendant. She's on a mission. She's coming. She ain't turning back. She ain't. This is done. Broke the camel's back. The straw. Done. Boom. She comes. She grabbed her by the arm and she said, ma'am, you're coming with me. I have a seat for you up here. And she looks at me and glares. The lady pulls away from the flight attendant, arm hooks me, and buries me in her hair. I'm not joking. I'm not embellishing the story. She plants her head in the center of my chest. Total stranger. total stranger, plants her head in the center of my chest, locks my arm, arm hooks me, and squeezes into me and presses into me like she's my long lost daughter. Her hair covers me. It smelled amazing. I was like, what did she put? I was in there. I was in the middle of her hair. I was like, whoa. It was a great experience. And she said, I am not moving. This man is so helping me. And the flight attendant's like, huh? And I came out from the hair. I said, hey. I said, I'm so sorry that you didn't understand, but I really couldn't say nothing and defend myself. It's the Lord, honey, Jesus. He gave me a couple words for her. He told me she had Crohn's disease and he's healing her. And she's just overwhelmed. It's the Lord. Really? You knew? You talked? Yeah. And then it got a little good with her. And sometimes the Lord will say, well, even you right now, I see. I've been in planes with Todd where the whole flight attendant crew is crying and sometimes on their knees. The flight attendants. I've watched restaurants shut down. I've watched managers stop everything and tell the patrons to please be patient. God is here. I'm either making that up and I just need your temporal woo and I'm a sicko, or we think this way and live this way and people benefit from it. I watched one manager line up every one of her girls crying and said, pray for every one of them. Amen. Took us back into the kitchen and said, pray for all my cooks. Todd's just a blessing. He told the girls, don't tell me one thing that you're going through or one thing wrong in your body. Jesus is going to reveal himself to every one of you. He just said, boom, boom, boom. And they're all, and then they had to go wait on tables. I was in a Chili's and God helped a lady to walk that had 3 blown surgeries and came crippled in there and couldn't even walk. And her friends were keeping her up and going. And they were just glad that she was with the crew again. Elderly ladies, we watched Jesus touch her and we watched her walk to the wall, spin around and come back and cry and walk. And her friends are howling, crying. Todd's going, thank you for not saying no. Thank you for letting me pray for you. And they're hugging. This big old man with cut off sleeves, demon tattoos all over him. He said he was a Satanist. He was didn't believe in God. He was all this stuff. He said, hey, I need to talk to you. I said, yeah, man. Jumped right in. He told us all to get out. All these pastors were hanging around. We all got out. The guy said, that was real. That was God. I've always said he ain't real, but that was God. There ain't no way around it, man. How'd that happen? Todd's just sharing the kingdom. He said, dude, it's time to get to know Jesus. I want to. Took his hands and prayed for him. His demon tattoo turned into a smiley face. No. Wouldn't that be awesome? I'm just going to believe for that. So I don't even know what I'm doing now. I usually don't tell testimonies and stuff like this. I think it's just because you guys are so there. That I'm not trying to get you to believe this. You already know God does this stuff. What I'm doing is I just believe God's whetting your appetite to say, why not me? Why don't I just think this way and live baggage free? Just live baggage free. Yeah? Just live baggage free. And just say, I'm done with attitudes. I'm done with detrimental thinking. I'm done with offense and hurt and frustration and anguish and despair. I'm done with it. And even in the face of loss and physical loss, which is true, I just lost my brother. I lost my brother in middle of October, early October. He just fell over in a butcher shop. Boom, last I saw him. He left my yard, took a picture of him on my phone of his deer. We butchered his deer. He took the meat to the butcher and never left the butcher. You just don't know. You just, life. Do I miss him? Terribly. Was it hard? Wasn't fun. But can you tell that happened when you look at me? Do you hear it in my voice? Do you see it in the message? I'm a pilgrim. I'm a sojourner and we won. We didn't lose. We won. Because my brother's been washed in the blood and he's in the eternal presence of Almighty God. Don't you think for a second that we lost. The only thing I lost is temporal time. Wisp and a vapor, temporal time. And one day that's going to get so swallowed up by the eternal weight of his glory when he comes. Why? Because I'm a believer. Yeah, you get it? I'm a believer. Do I miss him? Of course. Do I grieve as if I have no hope? Absolutely not. Do I question God? Not even thinkable. Am I mad at God? Are you kidding me? That's ludicrous. Well, why'd he let? Well, how come he didn't? Why doesn't he protect? You are a very vulnerable person. You're probably not blessed. The mindset that you have right there tells me how you're doing. And you are a dime a dozen. Adversity after adversity. You are easy pickings. Because your thinking's wrong. Because you're making this about you and how you feel and what you think. Instead of who he is and what he created you for and what he paid for. Come on, it's okay if I talk that straight because I'm not mad at you because I just told you my brother died. So you can't tell me I don't understand. You're too late. I do understand. You just don't grieve as if you have no hope. My next time out hunting, I shot a big old buck. First thing, I'm going to grab my phone and text my brother. But he ain't there. We did so many things together. He was my friend, not just my brother. We did everything together. I get in on stuff. I'm in the outdoors. I do stuff. First thing, it still happens. It's January, and I still get this impulse. I got to text him and show him a picture. Or say, man, he's going to flip out when he sees. And I'm like, ah, he ain't there. It's real. But I'm not sad. I'm thankful that I had my brother for 61 years and we had relationship and it was good. And he's with Jesus like right now. Like he probably doesn't want to come back and sit in the tree stand. I'm still living a lower life. I'm still thinking tree stand. He's like, what? I'm still thinking cast my line. And he's like, dude, are you kidding me? Why did we even do that? Well, it was fun. Yeah. Not compared to what he's in. Could you imagine? Wouldn't it be great if Jesus would just let one of our loved ones pop back just for 5 minutes and preach to us? We think some of us are passionate and aggressive and freaked out. Could you imagine if he would just let my brother just pop down here for 5 minutes and just speak to us for 5 minutes? Yeah, 2 minutes would be plenty. Listen, this is what faith says. This is what faith believes. Faith believes that I'm always going to be alive in him, that I'm never going to die, that I don't have any fear of death, that I'm going to live my life now for that day. I'm living now for that day. I'm going to store up treasures in heaven. I'm not going to live for things that rust and are eaten by moths. Are you with me? What time is it? Whoa. Time flew on this one, man. See, I'm having fun. This stuff is in me. It's burned in me. Can you tell? Like, I live this way. Come on, I'm just telling you openly. My brother just fell over, but I'm telling you freely. I'm not even struggling with emotions because it's so resolved in my heart that it's all good. Yeah. So weeping for a night, joy in the morning. So now I'm past that. I don't boo-hoo anymore. I cried. I might have cried harder when I lost my brother. I might have cried harder than any time since I've been saved. I don't know if I remember ever crying harder. Except for when God put supernatural intercession on me for a season. Which was beyond natural. But I cried so hard when I lost my brother because and I remember sitting in the driveway when I left the hospital and he was gone. And of course we prayed for him and everything, but he's gone. And I'm sitting in my driveway thinking about the reality. I'm not going to ever text my brother again or get a text from him. He's not going to pull up in his truck and throw his rods in the back and say, hey, and put his little cooler in the back seat. It's not going to happen. And I'm sitting there thinking about that. And I started to talk to the Lord about the reality. I said, man, I know I talk about eternal life and I preach it all over the country. But man, I don't think I see it like it really is. He's with you. Like he's really with you right now in the glory of your presence. Whew. I was like, what a victory. And I laughed and I said, God, I think that's better than sitting in a tree stand. That's where I got that night. And I said that. I didn't get it from Trey. I don't preach his stuff. Right? I said, it's got to be better than sitting in a tree stand. And I chuckled. But who knows, they're still lost there. But the truth and the thankfulness and the right attitude and the perspective and seeing is what carried me through that. Are you with me?
Yes.
Listen, if you lost a loved one, it's important to understand what I'm saying. It's important not to turn inward, not to get crushed, not to close down. Even if you lost a child, that's different. That's even tougher emotionally. So I'm not making light of it, and I'm saying it's not real. I'm saying it's not dominant. I'm not saying it's not real. It's just never to dominate your life. And I don't know why I'm saying this in this house. Well, I don't, but I'm going to say it because I hear it, so I'm going to say it. There's 1,000 things plus one out there trying to make your heart hard. If your heart's hard, you know it. People don't have a hard heart and not know it usually, especially when it has to do with attitude. I just feel like I'm supposed to say, please guard your heart from that kind of thing. I don't know who I'm talking to, why I'm talking to you about that in this house, because this house doesn't seem like that word fits. Maybe it's just protectionary, precautionary, father-like. But don't let your heart get hard. It's never cool to have an attitude that's not kingdom. Even if your story seems to justify it. If it's not producing life, it's not him. Are you with me? I'm going to close. I'm going to be done. I'm done. Who's closing? Are you closing? Listen, guys, I just feel like I said enough. It's been fun being here with you guys. Really, seriously. I'm in a lot of places. I'm not just trying to brag on you guys. I'm in a lot of places. There's something special. You got a special foundation here. There's a foundation of truth. There's something you're corporately believing, like there's a lot of you believing the same thing. I can perceive it when I stand in front of you. It's exciting to me. It has me revved up, that alone. Guard that, protect that, and let's go after this thing and let's walk this out. And one day, we are going to so celebrate. Like one day, man, this thing is going to be like, we're going to be so glad we believed. Like, don't be in the camp that's like, oh, man. You know how much that could be? See, God still dries every tear, but why is there so many tears? And why does he have to dry every tear? Because I think there's a lot of things we're going to see that we had in front of us that we missed, that we didn't pursue, that we just... You don't want a lot of oopses when you're standing on that day. You don't want a lot of oopses. You don't want a lot of excuses because none of them will stand. You won't even be able to think them because they're already blown away in the light of his glory. You'll be like, whoa, duh. What you want is to take in that inheritance and that heritage in the Lord. You want to take in those treasures. You want to take in those souls, that fruitfulness. Every time that somebody got convicted because of your life, every time a seed was sown, every time water was poured on a soul because of your life, that's what you want to go in there with. And then you go and just cast your crown before him. And actually, crown, you're my crown. You're my joy. Paul said people were his crown. So wonder if we're just not casting literal crowns. Wonder if we're just casting all the testimony and all the people and all the fruit in front of him and saying, man, it would have never happened if it wasn't for your grace. It would have never happened if you weren't in control. It would have never happened if you're not the Lord. I worship you, Jesus.
That sure beats being ticked off, having an attitude, or being offended.
I think what I'm saying is angry people are a dime a dozen. Don't be angry. Put off your anger. Let's walk in righteousness. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.